We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thanks for downloading the John Contreras Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
Live from America's finest city, it's the John Contreras Show.
Doctor!
Now, here's the coach, John Contreras, on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, diving into hour number two on a Monday. Hope everyone had a great weekend. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're going to get out to your phone calls here in a few minutes. If you'd like to dial us up, give us your thoughts on the Padres 60-man roster that right now only contains 52 ball players. Give me a call, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Again, tomorrow, our 97.3 The Fan Baseball Roundtable will get underway at 12 o'clock. It'll run for an hour, then I'll open the phone lines up, and we'll get rolling with our regular show. But Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and tomorrow's topic, we're going to talk about the Padres starting rotation. So don't miss it. Our baseball roundtable tomorrow at 12 right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Well, if you missed the first hour of the program, you missed Barbara Bree, member of the San Diego City Council for the First District, talking about the final vote tomorrow morning. The meeting, 11 o'clock. The City Council will vote one last time to approve the sale from the city to San Diego State, to where they can build that 35,000-seat stadium, the retail stores, the hotel, the parks, recreation areas, houses. Going to be great. Going to be absolutely fantastic. I'd love to hear from an Aztec fan today. Just one Aztec fan. I know there are not a lot of them out there. I know there are not a lot of them out there, but I'd love to hear from one Aztec fan today and get your thoughts on this. It's been a long time coming. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, 1:35, Kyle Glazer, Baseball America. And, of course, we'll have Bench the Coach today. And once again today, we're running low on them. We'd probably be out, but I won a lot last week. So we didn't give out too many T-shirts last week. But 97.3 The Fan, our prize pack that includes a free limited edition fan T-shirt. We'll be doing that at 150. Braden Cam Newton signs a one-year deal with the New England Patriots. If he has a good year, he can make as much as $7.5 million. He basically signed a minimum contract. And I saw Richard Sherman of the 49ers saying it's a joke and, you know, they should have given him more money. You know, Richard Sherman just needs to worry about his ball club and leave Cam Newton alone. Cam Newton did not have a lot of offers. He had no offers, in fact, other than the New England Patriots. He still has to pass a physical. He passed one in March in Atlanta on both his leg and his shoulder, but he still has to pass a physical with the New England Patriots. But, boy, I'll tell you, this really changes things up, I think, not only in the AFC East, but I think it changes it up in all of the AFC, because if he can come back and be close, if he could be 90% of the quarterback that he was in Carolina, and with that running game that they have, and with Josh McDaniel knowing how to work with quarterbacks that can move a little bit, boy, these guys could get back to the Super Bowl, I think.
I'm not ready to crown him as a Super Bowl contender just yet. I'd like to see him play first. Plus, we don't even know if Cam Newton can make it through an entire season without getting hurt. But I will say this. They are now, in my opinion, the favorite to win the AFC East again. And not to say take anything away from the Bills. I think they're going to have a good year too. But, I mean, the big reason why the Bills all of a sudden had a chance is because they got rid of a quarterback in New England that's no longer there, and his name is Tom Brady. And I don't think Cam Newton is in the same caliber as Tom Brady, but Cam Newton is no slouch. I mean, he was a former MVP at one point in time. I think that's a big pickup for the Patriots. I think that they got a really good shot to basically not really miss a beat up there in New England based on the coaching staff that they have, based on the players that they have and the scheme that they run. There's a lot of things that go into winning football games and not just a quarterback. And the fact that they have Cam Newton potentially instead of maybe a Jared Stidham, I think that puts them at a lot more success. And we haven't seen the Bills kind of take advantage of having a better team yet. So we'll see how it goes. But I think this puts them in the favorite category, at least for the AFC East. And I think they're in a good spot to win, be a playoff team.
Well, Braden, I'm going to tell you right now, this team may have the deepest group of running backs in the entire league, and they've upgraded their offensive line. They've signed a couple of guys, I think, to slot into the right and left guard. But, I mean, you take a look at their running backs. They got Sony Michel. They got Damian Harris. Those guys are dynamic, especially on first and second down. And then you've got those receivers coming out of the backfield. You got a guy like James White, who's been just absolutely incredible, as good as it gets coming out of the backfield catching the ball. You got Rex Burkhead. You got Brandon Bolden, and then they signed a free agent fullback, Danny Vitale, during the offseason, because last year, if you recall, James Devlin and Jacob Johnson, they finished the year on IR. And that's the one thing about Belichick and McDaniels, they know how to use that fullback in their offense as well. This team ought to be able to run the football, and I think, you know, they're not going to have to try to go deep a bunch of times. They can run a lot of crossing routes. I think Cam Newton's going to be pretty good, I think, in this offense, and I think he's healthy enough. He's been working out. I mean, there's no doubt he's close to 100% right now. Now he's got to get in there, and he's got to learn the offense, and with what we're dealing with right now, you know, he's not going to be able to probably be able to work with a lot of his players right away. You saw D'Amora Smith, the head of the NFL Players Association, calling out Russell Wilson and Brady a little bit about all these workouts they've been holding at the park. So some of that stuff may calm down a little bit, but I think, you know, this is a lot better than Jared Stidham or Brian Hoyer. Let's put it that way. And it takes New England to a completely different level.
I agree. It's definitely an upgrade, and everybody's like talking about, well, he's going to go in and Stidham's going to be the guy. And he's not. Stidham's not going to be the guy. He was the guy because they didn't have anybody else. And now they went and got Cam Newton. I did find it interesting. They were the only team to formally offer Cam Newton, and one of two teams that even reached out to him. The other team that reached out to him, the Cleveland Browns, actually had some contact with Cam Newton. I don't know if that bodes any well for Baker Mayfield up there in Cleveland, but there's only two teams that even kicked the tires on Cam Newton, let alone offer him a contract. So I found that to be very odd. I thought for sure a handful of teams would at least, maybe asked about Cam.
Well, you know, go back to March when he passed that physical, and his comment was, he goes, you know, I'm not really in a big hurry to sign right now. I want to, you know, wait and see what happens. And if somebody goes down, then I can go in there, because there were no real starting jobs available. But he sees this as an opportunity to come in and start. And, you know, this is such a Belichick move, isn't it?
It is a Belichick move. They can turn around anybody of any shape, size, extracurricular activities, whatever, and make them into even better than they were before they got them. So this is like so up the Patriots alley to get a guy that nobody else wanted, or a guy that might be on his way out because of injuries, and then all of a sudden they turn him into an MVP type caliber player. So a lot of work still to be done in New England, and obviously Cam still needs to make it to the season, but I'm excited to see what this team could do. Now all of a sudden they don't have Brady, and now they have Cam Newton at the helm. I think this is a big for them. And if I'm in the AFC East, all of a sudden when I thought I was going to be able to jump on the Patriots, I don't think I'm doing that. I'm not thinking that anymore.
Braden, I'm not going to say, you know, who's going to have a better year, Cam Newton or Tom Brady, but what team do you think is going to have a better year, the Patriots or Tampa Bay?
I don't know. That's pretty tough, because Tampa Bay got a lot of upgrades everywhere. They've been working out. They've been getting into shape. Whether they're following protocols or not seems to be a question at hand. I don't know. It's tough to. I think the Patriots just overall are just a better, more well-run organization, and I think they're just better poised for success based on the division that they play in, and what they have up there at New England and the coaching staff that they have. I might have to go with New England on that one, to be honest with you.
Well, when you take a look at the AFC, let's start in the East. I mean, I think you and I both agreed before this signing, you and I both had Buffalo as the number one team in the East. And you know what? They may end up being the number one team. They're going to have to definitely prove it on the field. They got a good defense. Their defense is really good, in fact. Offense is a work in progress with Josh Allen. But, you know, Josh Allen's got the ability to run with the football a little bit as well. That's going to be a great battle. But when you take a look at the AFC in general, you know, I know everybody right now is infatuated with Patrick Mahomes, and, you know, they had this great comeback in the Super Bowl. And I don't know if it was more a great comeback by them or a tremendous meltdown by the San Francisco 49ers. But everybody wants to anoint Kansas City to win, you know, multiple Super Bowls right now. And I'm not convinced they're going to get back there this year.
Yeah, you never know. But I like the Ravens. I like Lamar Jackson. We'll see how he does in his technically not his sophomore season, but his third season at the helm at quarterback. And, you know, we always see these guys come out of the gate hot, and then people figure them out. And we'll see if Lamar Jackson can make the adjustment to be the quarterback that everybody wants him to be and everybody thinks he can be. And I think he can make that adjustment. You got Patrick Mahomes. I think he could have a really good season as well with Kansas City. But other than that, it's pretty well. But, I mean, maybe Indianapolis with Phillip Rivers and a really good offensive line could compete for it too. But if you just look at the division for the Patriots, and I know the Bills are going to be better, but there's, I mean, the Patriots are the Bills' daddy, man. I mean, they just own Buffalo all over the place. And until Buffalo can go in there and beat New England, it's going to be tough for me to relinquish the Patriots' grasp of the AFC East. And you got the Dolphins who are always a mess. Sorry, Chris Ella, but they're always a mess. And then the Jets. I mean, you have players trying to jump off that ship so fast up there in New York. It's ridiculous. I mean, so the division definitely helps out the Patriots a little bit. I think the conference does to a certain extent, but I think there are a lot of other teams that are getting closer to the Patriots and the top echelon of the AFC than they have in years past. But that being said, I like what the Patriots have done. I think adding Cam Newton just kind of puts them in a position where they won't miss out on what they had last year.
You know, I look at last year, Buffalo ended up 10-6, and they're an improving football team. They had a second-year quarterback. They scored 314 points last year, gave up 259. And we're talking about the Patriots, okay? Last year with Tom Brady, they scored 420 points. They only gave up 225 points last year. And people don't even talk about the Patriots' defense. They always want to talk about the offense and Brady. So that defense is not going away. And now you bring in Cam Newton rather than Jared Stidham. This team will be very formidable. It's a two-team race, obviously. But my dark horse, and you mentioned him, I think Phillip Rivers, a new lease on life, I think Phillip Rivers can lead Indianapolis to the promised land. I don't know if they're quite good enough to get all the way to the Super Bowl, but I do think they can make a big playoff run, maybe get to the AFC Championship.
They have the ability to do so. Whether or not they stay healthy is a different matter. And, you know, I think Phillip Rivers is going to be well protected. I think Indianapolis is a really good chance. Talking about division, I mean, I'm not really scared of their division either. I know Houston and Tennessee are two playoff caliber teams. I'm not a believer in Houston. I've never been a believer in Houston. And we'll see what happens with Ryan Tannehill and the Titans with a brand new or the gigantic contract. I know they can run the ball and play really good defense, but I'm still liking Phillip Rivers in the AFC South more than the other teams.
You know, the thing with Tennessee, and they signed Tannehill to that big money deal during the offseason. You know, he had a great season a year ago, did a great job taking over for Marcus Mariota. But, you know, Derrick Henry's the guy. I love Derrick Henry. He's an old school running back, actually runs more like a fullback, except with great speed. But their defense gave up a lot of points last year, and they're going to play, Braden, a lot of tight games. It's going to be a ball control type offense, and, you know, they could win by three or they could lose by three. I don't know if the Titans can get back to where they were a year ago. You remember, during the regular season, they only finished 9-7 last year, but then got really hot in the playoffs.
That's right, and they are able to play playoff football. I mean, that's what you're built to. The one thing that has happened in football that always works to a certain extent is running the football and playing good defense. You can run those high-powered offenses. You can do all this, you know, fun gadgety things, this high tempo and throwing the ball every, like, 5 seconds. But the thing that has had a lot of success to the end of time is being able to run the football, control the game, and play defense. And that's what Tennessee did. And, you know, that's what they're built to do. And that's a great equalizer when you face any team.
Brayden, you mentioned the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson, the reigning MVP of the National Football League. His team went 14-2 a year ago so far in his young career, and I'm not going to say this is going to be a trend. He's 0-2. He got beat his rookie year when he came in late in the year and was a starter. Got beat in the playoff game. Got beat in the playoff game last year. He's had to live all offseason with that, and people are saying, well, can he win the big one? Can he win a playoff game? You know, I look at their offense a year ago. I mean, we talk about how great Kansas City is offensively. Kansas City scored 451 points last year, and Lamar Jackson and company, they ended up scoring over 500 points. They scored 531 points last year. I don't know, though, if they can go 14-2 again this year.
Yeah, I don't think they'll go 14-2 again. I think they benefited from a schedule and a lot of teams not being able to figure out how to slow down Lamar Jackson and in the Baltimore Ravens offense. But a lot of things change from year to year. It's very hard to go 14-2 back-to-back season, especially in the National Football League. Everybody has the same salary cap. Everybody's playing by the same rules, and everybody is good, regardless of some of these teams. Even the teams like the Dolphins, who weren't supposed to win a single game last year, ended up ripping off a handful. Everybody in the National Football League is good. It's an equalizing league, and that's what I think a lot of people love about watching this league.
I'm going to tell you right now, the team to watch for, and again, it's going to come down to quarterback play because I think they're going to be pretty good on defense, and I think they'll be improved on offense. I just don't know. At some point in time, Drew Locke there with Denver is going to hit a little bit of a wall and a learning curve. He did a good job down the stretch last year, but now, you know, he's the guy. He's the guy moving forward. That's who John Elway has picked. And by the way, congratulations to John Elway. Had a good offseason and happy birthday to him today as well. He's 60 years of age. But, you know, I look at the Chiefs. They won the division going 12-4 a year ago. The Broncos were 7-9, but they played great the second half of the year under their first-year head coach, Vic Fangio. And you know, they brought in Melvin Ingram. They've got, you know, Lindsey, the little running back, Philip Lindsey. They undrafted guy from a couple of years ago. Has had two consecutive 1,000-yard seasons. Royce Freeman's still there. Their offensive line's pretty good. Need a little work at the wide receiver spot. Maybe another player there. They've got a couple of good young tight ends. I'm expecting Denver to make a race of it in the AFC West. I don't think the Raiders will, and I don't think the Chargers will. But I think Denver can give Kansas City all they can handle this year.
Yeah, they got a three-headed monster running back-wise that's going to be hard to deal with, and you're going to be playing in cold weather. That's when running games usually do the best, and it's tough to stop the run. If you can run, you can slow down a lot of offenses like Kansas City's. Denver's built to compete definitely in the AFC West, and they're definitely a team that could be a force against Kansas City. A team that can slow down Kansas City is a team that can run.
Good NFL talk. And, Brayden, we're going to talk more and more about the NFL. We're going to get into college football here in the next couple of weeks. Not sure exactly where the college football season is headed right now, but we will definitely be talking about that on a regular basis. But when we come back, we're going to switch back to baseball. One hitter to watch in each team that will make or break a team's success for the coming baseball season. This is the John Quintero Show. Thanks so much for joining us today right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Hey, 1:22 the time. Coach John Quintero headed to 3 o'clock in Gwynn and Chris today. And I want to remind everyone there are plenty of ways to connect with 97.3 The Fan for United San Diego and help us move California forward. Download the radio.com app, favorite 97.3 The Fan, and hit play, listen live on your desktop player at 97.3thefansd.com. Ask Alexa to play 97.3 The Fan on radio.com. More info, go to 97.3thefansd.com and use the hashtag #MoveCaliforniaForward. And by the way, coming up at 1:35, we're going to be talking a little baseball today with Baseball America writer Kyle Glazer going to join us. We got Bench the Coach coming up at 1:50 today. Brayden, what direction are we going on Bench the Coach today?
We'll go with football today.
Football, okay, very good. Well, if you'd like to be a contestant on Bench the Coach and get into the rotation to win a limited edition 97.3 The Fan t-shirt, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. And just a reminder, tomorrow, 97.3 The Fan Baseball Roundtable. It gets underway at 12 o'clock, first hour of the program tomorrow. I'll invite Ben and Woods to be with me along with Gwynn and Chris. And we're going to take a look at the Padres starting rotation. Also in the 2 o'clock hour today, we're going to give you a thorough breakdown of the Padres 60-man roster that right now only has 52 players on it. Let's get out to the phone. Sean in San Diego, welcome to San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Sean, how are you today?
Oh, Coach, I'm doing real well. Yeah, listen, I don't know if you recognize my voice, but I used to call in quite a bit up until about 3 months ago, but I've been really busy. Yeah, I just wanted to comment about the what's proposed or what's going to be happening with baseball and the guy over extra innings starting off at second base. The way I feel about that is, like, to me, I'm not for it. I think that, you know, just like college football has, you know, starting off at the 25-yard line, whatever, you know, that way, it's similar to that. I don't know that that actually speeds anything up. I think you just have the same opportunity as if you didn't do that. You know, guys are going to be second base for both teams, same like with the 25-yard line. What I think is a good thing to do is kind of incorporate what soccer does, have a running clock. And you would have then a certain period of time, maybe, I don't know, 15, 20, or half an hour or something like that. And then whoever gets maybe more base hits or doubles or even scores, you know, then that would dictate who wins if they're going to go on something like that. That would actually – they have control over it because you can't control something, you know, such as a man in second base. That doesn't necessarily control it. But if you really want to control it, you have a running clock and for extra innings and incorporate that. And that's my opinion. But that's all I have today.
Well, Sean, here's the deal. The great thing about baseball is it's never had a clock. You watch the game, and when the game's over, you get up, you walk to your car, and you go home. I don't necessarily want to see a clock involved, nor do I really want this situation at second base. I understand why they're doing it. It's something that started many years ago. It was called in softball the international tiebreaker. They've been doing it down in the minor leagues, and I understand why they're doing it in the minor leagues because they don't have the depth that you know, major league teams have as far as their pitching. But you know, if this is a one-time thing, great. But I think going into 2021, you got to get back to playing good old-fashioned baseball.
Oh, I understand your perspective on that. The only reason I was bringing that up is out of the three major sports, I mean, there's a clock on the other two, and there's not with baseball. So I just thought that's why I proposed that. Plus, I guess it's happening. So as an alternative to that, that's why I brought it up. I am not really for somebody to play baseball, you know, at a pretty high level myself. I'm not for that myself, too. But it's just something that if they're going to do that, it was just an alternative to how they were doing it.
Hey, Sean, I'll leave you with this. The only time I would like to see a clock imposed would be on the pitcher. With nobody on, you got to throw the ball within 20 seconds. I mean, a lot of these guys are out there hatching the ball 35, 40 seconds in between pitchers with nobody on base. I certainly understand why pitchers take more time when they're runners on base and in scoring position. But, you know, with nobody on, get the ball, let's go. I mean, you don't need to be hatching it out there. All right, Sean, thank you very much for the phone call. Braden, before we get to the bottom of the hour, I want to get to this topic. We got Kyle Glazer of Baseball America coming on after the bottom of the hour. But one hitter to watch in each team that will make or break a team's season. This is kind of an interesting topic.
Yeah, pretty interesting. Since we don't have too much time, we'll stick with the teams out west, starting the American League. With the Angels just up the road, they went with Justin Upton, with Anthony Rendon and Shohei Ohtani now regulars in the lineup ahead of him. Upton could be the most dangerous number six hitter in baseball. Of course, he's got to stay healthy.
Well, that's a big key with him. I mean, he's a productive hitter. You know, you're going to hit probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 255 to 275, but that equates to some pretty good power numbers. And Justin Upton, you know, he missed most of last year, came back towards the end, but never really got into much of a groove. I think that's a really good call for the Angels.
Moving down to the A's, they go with Chris Davis. The A's have become one of the most fun teams in baseball the last couple of years. Without Davis having his usual season in 2019, imagine what happens if he returns in full force for 2 months.
Chris Davis, you know, the prior 3 years was just absolutely off the chart. Hit 247 three straight years. Last year had a real difficult time, but, man, I'll tell you what, he can hit a ball a long ways. I mean, he's a 40-plus homer guy during a regular 162-game schedule.
We'll stick with a couple other teams in the American League West since the Padres will play them. Astros' Carlos Correa, still haven't seen peak Correa, largely because of injuries, but if he's ready to go after an offseason he and his team had, he may be ready to erupt.
Carlos Correa is a good kid. I remember talking to him when he came in and worked out at Petco Park prior to the draft, the year he was taken by the Houston Astros. Good kid. He really hasn't lived up to what people thought because he has had a lot of injuries. And the one injury that may not ever go away, hopefully he can manage it, but it's a bad back. And he's way too young to be dealing with a bad back.
Seattle Mariners' Daniel Vogelbach, you heard it here first. Vogelbach's going to be a great late-August trade bait for a National League team that needs a designated hitter.
He's the perfect poster boy for being a DH. I mean, Vogelbach, if he wants to play a long time, he's going to have to drop some poundage. I mean, he's a big, huge, heavy-set guy, and it's going to eventually curtail his swing. He's going to have to start swinging around his belly. Good hitter. They got great power, but you're going to need to drop a few pounds, I think, to have a long career in the big leagues.
Ned Odor for the Texas Rangers. Wouldn't it be funny if Odor, who is still only 26, chooses this year to finally fulfill all his early promise?
Well, Odor's got to decide what kind of hitter he wants to be. Does he want to hit, you know, around 200 and hit some home runs, or does he want to be a better hitter, hit for a higher average, and still have a little bit of power? I mean, he's really one-dimensional. It's all or nothing for him right now.
Moving on to the National League West, Arizona Diamondbacks Starling Marte is a sneaky good lineup and sneaky good team featuring Marte, who was acquired from the Pirates last winter. He's the ideal leadoff man in both the short term and maybe the long term for the Diamondbacks.
I think that ballpark's going to play for Marte. I think Marte probably has a pretty good year, and I know he just recently, his wife passed away, and he's having to deal with that and deal with his children right now, and that could take his mind away from the game of baseball. But, you know, I have a feeling he's going to use baseball to go out there, relax, and have fun. And that'll probably be the only time during the day where he can kind of, you know, kind of put it behind him a little bit before he has to go back with his children. But we wish him the best. He's having to deal with something that I'm glad I've never had to deal with.
Los Angeles Dodgers' Cody Bellinger, reigning NL MVP award. A little bit of a cheat, but after 48 games last year, he was hitting .408. What do you think this season's last 2 weeks will be like if he's doing that this time?
Well, he's a tremendous hitter. There is a lot of swing and miss. He's also a guy that I think at times when he gets into a little bit of a funk, tries to do a little bit too much, but just an incredible talent. I have a feeling he'll be just fine, especially having Mookie Betts in the top of that lineup and guys in front and back of him protecting him in the lineup. I think he's still going to put up big numbers this year.
San Francisco Giants' Hunter Pence, that's right, he's back on the Giants. He couldn't have known the Giants would need a DH when he signed with them in February, but it looks awfully convenient now.
Well, he found the fountain of youth. He went and played winter ball a year ago, did a nice job with the Texas Rangers, made the All-Star team in the American League, by the way. But, you know, they're trying to, once again, go back in time. He had a good comeback season a year ago. Not sure he's going to have as good a run the second time there in San Francisco.
Padres, Tommy Pham, outfielder for that Padres just acquired from the Tampa Bay Rays there in the offseason. Pham is one of the most unappreciated hitters in the game, and he's never been surrounded with this much offensive potential.
Well, Pham is a grinder. He's a hard-nosed guy. He plays the game the right way. He's going to force his teammates to play the game the right way. If not, he's not afraid to get in people's face, call them out. I think Tommy Pham is a breath of fresh air for the Padre franchise. He's a guy that's all about accountability. He'll play his tail off, and I think he'll do a good job.
Colorado Rockies, Trevor Story.
Trevor Story will be fine. You take a look at the left side of that infield in Colorado with Arenado and Trevor Story. Those guys can flat out get it done. I mean, that's two of the best guys on the left side in all of Major League Baseball. He's going to hit for power. He's doing a little bit better job of hitting for average, even though he does strike out quite a bit. When he puts the ball in play, he normally does quite a bit of damage.
And that'll it.
All right, Braden, good job. And with that, we're going to take a quick time out because when we come back, we're going to be joined by Kyle Glazer from Baseball America. We're going to take a look at some of the other teams around baseball, what they did with their 60-man roster. And we also got Bench the Coach coming up, playing for a limited edition T-shirt today. If you'd like to try to take me down today, tell you, last week the boys didn't have much of a chance to take me down. I was red hot last week. Our phone number, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. You're listening to the John Quintero Show. We're headed to 3 o'clock in Gwen and Chris right here on San Diego's number one sports station. Thanks for tuning in to 97.3 The Fan. This hour of the John Katura Show brought to you by Smart Investing. Tune in Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on 97.3 The Fan to listen to the Smart Investing Show. Host Brent Wilsey has over 40 years of experience in finance and was recently picked as one of California's top investment advisors for 2020 by Forbes magazine. I mentioned I walked 5 miles on Saturday morning. Well, I did listen to the Smart Investing Show by Brent Wilsey and Chase Wilsey, his son. All right, let's get out to our next guest. Always a pleasure to welcome from Baseball America, Kyle Glazer. He joins us on our SDCCU fan hotline. Kyle, how are you today?
Doing all right, John. Just counting down the days here till players are in summer camp, and then hopefully everything goes smooth enough to be able to open the season at the end of July as tentatively scheduled.
Well, I know you and your staff have been pouring through the 60-man rosters, and not all teams put a total of 60 players on the roster yesterday. Was there one or two rosters maybe around baseball that really stood out for you?
I mean, I think you look at the Marlins are a team that really just stacked up so many of their top prospects. I mean, this is a rebuilding team that is going to give a lot of their young kids a chance. I thought that was really eye-opening for me. And then just from a pure talent perspective, I mean, you look at the caliber of the players on the Dodgers roster, the Braves roster, the Rays roster. I think those three rosters, you look at the major league talent, you look at the talent below it in the minor leagues, those are the ones that stood out to me as being the most stacked.
You know, it's kind of interesting, and I'm going to go to our Padres here for a minute. They have 52 players on their roster, and they've left open spots for 8 more players. And guys that were left off yesterday, Juan Lagares, Brian Dozier, just to name a couple. And I know those guys, when they signed their contracts, they had an opt-out. If they weren't going to make the team or they didn't think they were going to make the team, they could get out of that contract prior to the end of spring training. Do you think that's what's kind of going on with that situation now? Maybe some type of paperwork move to re-sign them?
There are a lot of teams who left open spots, and there are a lot of players who that's a decision that's going to need to be made in the coming days, whether or not they're going to opt out of those deals. Because once a player gets put on the 60-man, you can't remove them unless you release them or whatnot. I should say you can't remove them and then put them back on. Once they're off your 60-man roster, you can't bring them back later. They have to go to another team to get back on a 60-man. So a lot of teams across baseball now are just trying to look at a lot of guys like that and figure out, okay, here's how we want to go with this, and ultimately have the player decide what route he wants to take as well with his contract.
Kyle Glazer, Baseball America, joining us on our SDCCU fan hotline. Some of these teams, and the Padres were involved in this, they put their number one draft pick this year, the high school kid Robert Hassel III, on this list yesterday. But the Padres weren't alone. There were other teams around baseball that put their first-round picks on the list.
Well, what made the Padres unique is they put their first-round pick, who is a high schooler, on the list. We saw some other teams put their first-round picks on their 60-man player pool initial rosters, but they were all college guys. Jared Schuster with the Braves. We saw the Diamondbacks with their first-round pick, Bryce Jarvis, today. The Mariners put a bunch of their draft picks from 2020 on their roster, including their first-rounder, Emerson Hancock. It was actually pretty rare to see the Padres do that with their high school first-round pick, but they're clearly emphasizing the development of Robert Hassel and want to make sure he's, in a place where he can continue playing this summer and not just sitting at home working out on his own.
Hey, did Max Meyer, he got put on with Marlins too, didn't he?
He was not on their initial list. I need to double check and see if he signed yet, but there's a couple guys here. When they do sign, they will go on the list, whether that's Max Meyer, Spencer Torkelson, the first overall pick with the Tigers, who hadn't signed yet. So a lot of those guys will go on shortly. Most of these teams did not put 60 guys on the roster. There's some room for them to add guys later.
What do you think about this 60-game schedule? You excited about it because it's going to be a sprint rather than a marathon that we always talk about in baseball?
Yeah, I go some baseball is better than no baseball. I think it's going to be unique. It's going to be exciting because every game counts that much more. I mean, we see how often one game makes a difference at the end of a 162-game season in the final standings. But in 60 games, I mean, every single game is just going to be that much more important. So I'm personally kind of excited for it, just the uniqueness of it and just how much every game is really going to count. But it's certainly going to be different. And again, I think we're all just happy baseball's back in some form or fashion, as long as everyone can stay healthy and the protocols are strictly followed, and hopefully, you know, nothing bad happens health-wise.
Kyle, what do you think about going to the 10th inning, putting that runner on second base? We've seen it in girls softball. We've seen it down in the minor leagues, especially in the lower minor leagues the last few years. Do you like it, and do you think it's a one-time thing, or you think we'll see this again in 2021?
As a baseball purist at heart, I do not like it. I think it's completely unnecessary. Teams have expanded rosters. They can get through these deeper innings, especially there's a lot of concern about pitchers and their arm health after not having a full, you know, 6-week camp to really get up to speed. They're only going to have 3 weeks or so, but there's going to be extra pitchers on the roster, so that should make up for it. Right now, this is something Major League Baseball has wanted to do in some corners. This is going to be seen as an experiment. Again, I think you can get away with it for this season, given all the health concerns. I do not see people going for it over a 162-game season next year or in future years. I really think this is a one-off. I personally do not care for it, and it seems like most people in the game and outside the game don't either.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of it, but if it's a one-time thing, fine, and then you go back to playing real baseball in 2021. Let me ask you this. Padres got a rookie manager in Jace Tingler, okay? I don't know if he's behind the eight ball a little bit, rather than, you know, maybe some veteran experienced managers, because I'm going to tell you right now, especially early, especially the first few weeks, first few rounds of your rotation, it's going to come down, I think, to the manager really knowing his pitchers and what they can and cannot do. And I think a rookie manager who's not gone through it at the big league level, he might be behind the eight ball a little bit handling his pitching staff.
We see bullpen management be one of the most difficult things for rookie managers to kind of get a handle on. It takes time. We saw Gabe Kapler struggle with that badly in Philadelphia. We saw Davey Martinez struggle badly with it his first year in Washington. He kind of figured it out, you know, midway through his second year, although some of that was just the fact he didn't have that many arms to work with. So there's no question, you know, bullpen management is going to be so critical during this, even more than it normally is. The fact that the DH is in the National League and he won't have to worry about double switches and running out of position players and all that should help him. But yeah, I mean, bullpen management, you know, is the hardest thing to get a handle on. It takes time, and the Padres don't have a lot of time this year. No team in Major League Baseball does.
Kyle Glazer, Baseball America, our guest here on our SDCCU Fan Hotline. I just want to kind of get a broad-based view from you on the National League West. I want to start with Arizona. You know, each of the last couple of years, I don't think there was a whole lot expected of the Diamondback, but, boy, Torey Lovello has really done a great job in his career over there with the Diamondbacks. He's always got those guys ready to play, and I think they've exceeded expectations each of the last 2 years.
Especially last year, after, you know, trading away Paul Goldschmidt, losing James Paxton, AJ Pollock in free agency, they went out and won 85 games last year. You know, the Diamondbacks, people don't talk about them a lot, but this is a team that has three consecutive winning seasons. They've been in the playoff hunt through September every year. They made the playoffs one of those years in 2017. They've got a pretty good group of players at the big league level and a sneaky good farm system below it. I think when a lot of people talk about the Padres and their biggest obstacle to winning the National League West, they talk about the Dodgers. The truth is the Diamondbacks right now are kind of number two in that pecking order, given what they have in the majors, what they have in the minors below it. The Padres haven't even jumped them yet, and that's where this is going to be more than just, oh, they just need to eventually beat the Dodgers. The Diamondbacks are a good team that should not be taken lightly, short-term or long-term.
Well, the Padres haven't been able to jump over the Colorado Rockies. The Rockies were awful last year. They finished in fourth place. The Padres finished a game behind them in last place in the division. You think Buddy Black's ball club can bounce back this year after being a playoff wild card team the prior 2 years?
It's just going to come down to pitcher health, which, again, is true for every team, but it's been especially true with the Rockies. You look at them making the postseason back-to-back years, and so much of that was their pitchers staying healthy and pitching to their potential. Last year, there were injuries. Last year, a lot of guys took a step back. Pitching is fickle. We know that. The Rockies did not really add anyone this offseason. It's really just going to be about whether the guys in-house on the pitching staff can bounce back. I wouldn't say it's impossible for a lot of those guys to have a bounce-back year. Kyle Freeland, Antonio Sensatella. We saw John Gray have a good year. You know, Germán Márquez is one of the most underrated pitchers in baseball. A lot of people have liked to dunk on the Rockies a little bit because their owner sometimes says some things that makes people shake their heads. But I think there's more talent here than people give them credit for. And again, this is a team that made the playoffs back-to-back years and just had one down year last year.
San Francisco Giants, and again, we're visiting with Kyle Glazer from Baseball America. The San Francisco Giants, nobody's really expecting much from them. I know they're still trying to maybe work out a deal with Yasiel Puig, but what should we expect from the G-men?
Not much at all. That's the team that if the Padres finish behind, you know, again, it's a shortened season, so it's hard to go all in on it, but generally speaking, that's the team that if the Padres were to finish behind this year, they'd have to take a hard look at what they're doing and whether or not it's really working. This is a Giants team that's going to be rebuilding, that has a lot of older declining veterans who were once great but are not what they once were, and a lot of other fill-in types, the young kids that aren't ready yet. You know, this should be the last place team in the National League West. I mean, if you're a Padres fan and they finish behind the Dodgers and Diamondbacks, okay, that's fine. You know, it's a step forward. I mean, they were a last-place team last year. The Rockies, you know, you can see it where, okay, some things click into place and the Rockies finish ahead. But if the Padres finish behind the Giants, there's problems.
Finally, the L.A. Dodgers in a 60-game regular season schedule, how many games should they win?
In a regular season, I mean, this is a team that has breezed past 100 wins. You know, they did so last year. They didn't in 2018, but they did in 2017. This is, again, a 100-win, you know, type of team in a normal season. It's not out of the question. This team just goes out and does something crazy like, you know, 41-19 in a 60-game season. This is a really, really, really good team with youth, with veterans, with pitching depth, with position player depth. I think if you're picking, you know, a World Series champion this year, they're at the top of the list.
I would tend to agree with you. They're so deep. It's like ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, you follow this. I mean, Baseball America, you've been following a lot of these kids that are now big league players for years and years and years. That Dodger roster is like ridiculous.
It is. We had a big cover story on it for us Baseball America back in April, just about how they've built this dynamo. A lot of teams have a great major league team, but the farm system's not great because you start picking at the bottom of the draft and then you trade prospects to beef up your major league team, or you have, you know, a not very good major league team, but you have a great farm system because you're picking high in the draft and stacking, you know, stocking prospects. The Dodgers have, you know, pulled the rare, you know, duo here of having a great major league team and a great farm system. It's rare. Just appreciate it. We're watching a true juggernaut, and now they just need to kind of, you know, fix some things. They have neglected to upgrade their bullpen at the deadline the last couple postseasons, even though they have the ammunition to do it. That's a philosophical issue they need to fix, and as long as they do that, there's no reason this team shouldn't dominate for years to come, just looking at what they have.
Hey, Kyle, as always, thanks so much, my friend. Have a great day, and hopefully everybody gets into camp this week. We have very few positive COVID-19 tests, and the boys can start taking ground balls by the end of the week.
Absolutely, John. I know that's what we're all hoping for, again, for everyone to stay healthy and safe and for baseball to be played, and certainly look forward to being back out at the ballpark, seeing you around Petco Park sometime soon.
There you go. Kyle Glazer, one of the best in the business, writer for Baseball America. And reminder, all guests on the John Quintero Show come via the SDCCU Fan Hotline. San Diego County Credit Union has low mortgage loan rates, equal housing opportunity. For details, give them a call at 877-SDCCU4U or to apply online, visit SDCCU.com. Always great to have Kyle Glazer on the program. And with that, let's get to today's Bench the Coach. Oh, well, I guess we had our man online there. We lost him, so we'll open that phone line up right now if you want to be the participant for Bench the Coach, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. I can tell you, coming up after the top of the hour, we're going to get into which top prospects on the Padre roster will make an impact for 2020. And, you know, I'm taking a look at this roster right now. And, Braden, if we get somebody to call in, we'll probably have to move it past 2 o'clock. Again, if you want to try to take me on. See, I think people are scared. I mean, I was marvelous last week. I knocked them out of the park the latter part of the week. I lost once early in the week, but then I got on a hot streak, and I know you're probably a little concerned about me taking you down, but love to hear from you today. If you'd like to win one of our limited edition 97.3 The Fan t-shirts, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Well, Braden, do we have time right now? No, we're going to push that after the top of the hour, and we'll have Bench the Coach, then we'll get into this. But, you know, taking a look at this Padre roster, pretty amazing stuff. I mean, I'm looking at these pitchers, and we're going to go position by position in the next hour. But, you know, I'm looking at these guys. Michelle Baez, I don't know where he factors in with the Padres. Are they going to try to make him a starter in this shortened season, or are they going to let him come out of the bullpen and just throw aspirin tablets? David Bednar, who we saw last year, I thought did a pretty good job in most of his outings. Ronald Bolaños, I don't think we'll probably see a lot of him this year. We will probably see him at the big league level, but not a lot. Zach Davies, I'm expecting big things. And again, while I'm talking about Zach Davies, I'm going to be talking tomorrow with Gwynn and Chris and Ben and Woods. We've got our big roundtable tomorrow at 12 o'clock. It'll be from 12 to 1. And we're going to focus tomorrow in particular on the Padres starting rotation. And Zach Davies, I think, is going to be a big part of it. This guy's a young pitcher. He's had good success in a real hitter-friendly ballpark there at Miller Park in Milwaukee. And I think he can use Petco Park as a real bonanza for him. In fact, I was looking at his numbers over the weekend, and the thing that impressed me, I mean, nowadays if a guy has a 4-plus ERA, you're not shocked. But this guy has done a good job of keeping his ERA under 4 in his major league career. He's not a hard thrower, throws between 88 and 91 miles an hour. In fact, he kind of reminds me of a left-hander because he knows how to mix and match. And we're going to talk more about Zach Davies. We're going to get into the entire Padre 52-man roster. Again, they can go to 60, but when we come back to kickoff hour number 3, we're going to get to Bench the Coach. You're listening to the John Quintero Show right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Thanks for downloading the John Quintero Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwynn and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.